excited about going to Detroit and the opportunity to have a winning season and be together. We have three goals for our football team, and one of them is to have fun playing football, to make A's and B's, and to be champions. And we're having a lot of fun playing football, and we still have a chance to be champions.
Purdue head football coach Danny Hope about his team earning a berth to the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit. You are listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast. I'm Sam Clement, along with Rob McMahon. And the Boilermakers, they got the good news yesterday. They're heading to the Motor City to play in the Little Caesars Bowl. They will take on Western Michigan in their first postseason game since 2007. And Rob, there was a lot of different information being swirled around the last week or so about where the Boilermakers end up, but they end up in a very familiar spot, the same location they played their last bowl in 2007.
2007, exactly. They go to Detroit. They play Central Michigan, whereas this year we're going to be playing Western Michigan. And last time we even set a attendance record for the bowl with over 60,000 fans. Morgan Burke was quoted earlier last week that there's over 20,000 Purdue fans within 4-hour drive of Detroit, so it's a great way to get a lot of people excited to go to a game that's still close to home.
A very short drive, as you said, about 4 hours, and Purdue will get 5,000 prime seats for their game against the Broncos. This is an important game for Purdue. As we've mentioned already, they're back in the postseason. It took them a bit of a while to qualify for it, came down to the last week. But now to have that payoff, to have their seniors be able to go out with some postseason play, what do you think this means for the program moving forward?
First off, it's a great thing for the seniors. It's a great way to send them off to bring their college careers to a great conclusion. Sadly, we lose running back
Ralph Bolden.
Ralph Bolden, there we go, sorry, to a torn ACL in the last game of the year. But it's a great stepping point to move on for next year and for the years to come, especially recruiting-wise. You're able to say, we got these bowl bids, we're going to bowls now, we're getting better. Join us and help us get to these better bowls along the way.
And as you said, they do lose Ralph Bolden, another casualty to an ACL, the third time that he's been injured in his career, and it is sad to see him go down. But Purdue has a lot of talent in that backfield. Akeem Hunt, Akeem Shavers, Reggie Pegram. There's a lot of talent in the backfield for Danny Hope. So they should be able to rebound and compete with a Western Michigan team that comes into the game 7-5. They're members of the MAC Conference. This is a team that puts up a lot of points. Two of their last three games, they scored 63 in a loss to Toledo and 68 in a win in their final game against Akron. They've got some offensive firepower. Jordan White, one of the all-time great receivers in school history. So Purdue's going to have to do a lot to really try to shut down an offense that's pretty explosive.
That offensive line is really going to need to get off on every play. They're going to need to rely a lot on short to be able to get pressure on the quarterback every snap, every down. They can't allow Western Michigan to make these explosive plays. The corners are definitely going to have to cover long and hard and be able to stick with their men all the way down the field, especially with their big play threats.
And one good thing for Purdue is they had to win two of their last three games before to qualify for a bowl. They were four wins. They had to win against Ohio State, which was probably their best win of the season. Had a setback against Iowa, and then had to win the final game, the old Oak and Bucket game against IU in the final game of the season. And there's a lot of pressure on the Boilermakers in those final weeks of the season. And to have that pressure has really, it seems like, prepared them for this next step, to prepare them for the postseason game and the pressure of having the national spotlight on them. We talked to Albert Evans, the safety, about that pressure and about these last few weeks of having to qualify with some pivotal wins.
We were able to come together and get those wins. And it ended up being coming down to the IU game to get our sixth win. And I mean, for that to be a big rivalry, number one, and for us to have that on the line just made the game even bigger for us. And I feel like we just responded well as a team to be able to get those two victories, to be able to get to a bowl.
And because of that, they will play on December 27th at 4:30. It is one of just two games on December 27th, 2 days after Christmas. So they will definitely have plenty of spotlight on them in their matchup with the Broncos. This was really a first opportunity for most of the Purdue Boilermakers to reach postseason play. Rob, your thoughts on what they do here against Western Michigan?
You're right. Most of these players haven't had that opportunity to be in a bowl game, but they've had these big game experiences, be it against Ohio State, a big win at Indiana. The pressure's been on them lately, and they've been able to step up to the challenge. They've been able to come up and show what they're worth, and what they're worth is a bowl bid. And they've now just got to go out there, use that momentum that they've kind of garnered over the last few weeks with the two big wins, and keep that momentum alive, be able to use those wins to propel them to do well.
Joe Holland, the linebacker for Purdue, one of the few players on the team that has actually been on the sidelines during a bowl game. He was part of the 2007 team that played in what was called the Motor City Bowl, now the Little Caesars Bowl. He just talked about that experience and what it means to be going back to a bowl game for Purdue in the program.
We're fortunate enough to be playing in the Little Caesar Bowl with the opportunity to become champions when it's all said and done. You know, I think this is a huge step for our program and something that, you know, we're going to take very seriously and to become champions and to achieve our goal.
December 27th is the date, the Little Caesars Bowl, Purdue versus Western Michigan, a 4:30 kickoff in that one.
We're thrilled to be moving on in the NCAA tournament, as you would expect. It's been something that we have, you know, planned on and hoped for. I've said all along that there were a dozen teams that were capable of winning a national championship this year, and some of those are not in the tournament anymore, but there's still a lot of teams that have the capability of winning, and I think that we're one of those.
Purdue volleyball coach Dave Shondell on his team. It's pretty sweet to be a Boilermaker right now. They are headed to the Sweet 16 in Minneapolis after wins over Morehead State in the first round and then over Louisville in the second round. Both of those games were played right here in West Lafayette. And you were at both of the games, Rob. What did you see out of the Boilermakers? It looked like it was a pretty easy going here for the home team.
Definitely the first match against against Morehead State was a 3-0 sweep. There wasn't much issues to be had. It was really pretty cut and dry. The match against Louisville really kind of showed some of the weaknesses in the team, where they still had some issues, especially in the second set, which we lost 28-26. Louisville was able to put down some tough serves on the defense and scored several aces on us, which wasn't what we were expecting. They began moving their blocks and their setter around to kind of cause some confusion. But the Boilers were able to step up, make the adjustments they needed to in the third and fourth sets, and were really able to rally around the crowd that we had at home, which is one of the greatest in the Big Ten.
Ariel Turner leading the way in that one. She has 16 kills. Again, she was named the Big Ten Conference Player of the Year, and her head coach, Dave Shondell, last week was awarded the Conference Coach of the Year. So Purdue, with plenty of firepower, they now again advance to the Sweet 16 in Minneapolis and will take on Florida State and the Seminoles. And, Rob, what do you expect out of the Boilermakers as they try to punch their ticket now to the Elite Eight?
Florida State's a very good team. They've been ranked all season long. But looking at watching video between Cincinnati and Florida State in the second round of the NCAA tournament showed some flaws that they have in their defense and in their blocking. They are really kind of short up front, which gives our players like freshman Val Nickel and senior Tiffany Fisher a height advantage over a lot of their players, which should really work out in our favor.
The winner of that game, which will be played on December 9th, will advance to play the winner of Minnesota and Iowa State. They are in the bottom half of that bracket. So Purdue, again, with an opportunity here. They're the fifth overall seed, Florida State the 12th seed. And so, Rob, it looks like Purdue clearly the favorite here. Do you expect an Elite Eight visit here for the Boilermakers?
I believe that Purdue will be able to beat Florida State pretty soundly. It'll probably take four sets. Florida State's not going to go down without a fight. They'll probably manage to win at least one. Which one set that is still to be determined, but it'll probably be a Purdue victory in four sets. And I think Minnesota got a big scare over the weekend where they nearly lost to Washington. It took them all five sets to win that one. I think they're going to be able to come out against Iowa State, defend the home court, and it'll probably be a Big Ten Elite Eight in Minnesota.
And that game will be a 6 o'clock start again on December 9th. Florida State, this is just one of their – it's a rare trip to the Sweet 16 for them. They've been there twice, so an exciting time for both schools. It'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off on December 9th for Purdue and Florida State in the Sweet 16 of the Women's Volleyball Championship.
Well, we knew that this stretch of our schedule was going to be very tough. We talked about it, and again, our team's very resilient. We know how to grind things out. You know, and all it can do is just build confidence going into our next game. You know, it was very important that we needed to win one of these, and I think this can just be the catalyst to, you know, have some great things in the future here.
Coach Sharon Versip's Purdue women's basketball team looked the national champions right in the face, took them down in Mackey Arena Sunday. A 60-51 win for Purdue over Texas A&M, the reigning national champions. It's the second of three straight games against top-tier opponents for the Boilermakers, and Purdue definitely came out looking like champions of their own.
It was a huge victory for the Boilers against the defending national champions. They were going in there expecting to win in West Lafayette, and thankfully Purdue was able to go out there. They trailed at halftime. They started to get a little bit flat, and then early in the second half, Coach Sharon Versip gets a technical foul for arguing with the refs over a foul call on guard Courtney Moses, which then just sparked the Boiler offense. They ended up outscoring Texas A&M 31-19 in the second half and caused them the defense really stepped up and held Texas without a field goal for nearly 10 minutes in the second half.
Purdue's defense has been pretty stout all season long. They even looked good in that game against Duke earlier in the week on Thursday. That was a 64-53 loss to, I believe, 7th-ranked Duke Blue Devils at the time. They were in that game until the end. They played well. Just came down to some late rebounds, and Purdue wasn't able to hit some shots to really get that lead and build that momentum against Duke. But not a bad road loss to a top-10 team. They then rebound, get a 9-point win over the reigning national champion, the Aggies of Texas A&M. And now an in-state showdown with Notre Dame, who is the national semifinal, national runner-up last year, and they come in with all-world guard Skylar Diggins. That is a noon tip-off on Saturday. And, Rob, for Purdue to come out of this three-game stretch with potentially two wins, how big would that be for them building momentum as they get closer to the Big Ten season?
Building momentum is going to be huge. These are three of the toughest teams in the nation. Notre Dame lost by 6 points in the national finals last year to Texas A&M. They came back with, like you said, all-world guard, and they're going to be tough. It's not going to be an easy match by any stretch, but if Purdue can come out of this with two wins over Texas A&M and Notre Dame, that really sets them up well with their following non-conference schedule against Central Michigan, Auburn, Oakland, and then the toughness of the Big Ten is going to already have been played. It's going to be these teams that aren't quite as good as Notre Dame. They're not quite as good as Texas A&M. They're going to be tough, but they're not going to be quite as good as the quality opponents that Purdue's already played.
And that game, again, will be a noon tip-off against Notre Dame. And then after that, and even though it's not a ranked team, Purdue has to then go on the road the following day, Sunday. They'll play Central Michigan. So they go from three ranked opponents to immediately going on the road and having to travel to Mount Pleasant, Michigan to take on the Chippewas. So a interesting stretch of games. Purdue so far is staying afloat. They look very good. And as you said, as we heard Coach Versip say, they are really building some solid momentum as they head into the heart of the Big Ten season. Speaking of building momentum, the Purdue men's basketball team looked on track to get their biggest win of the season on the road at 11th-ranked Xavier. Had a 19-point lead at one point in that game, but Xavier able to battle their way back, and they come away with a 66-63 win on Saturday. And, Rob, we've seen this Purdue team have good stretches this season, and then there have been moments where they really struggled. We saw a little bit of both of that on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. They had the chance to win all the way until the last 5 minutes of the game, maybe the last 10 minutes of the game, where Xavier goes on a 36-8 run. And I don't know what spurred that on, whether our defense just collapsed or something happened. You saw Robbie Hummel have to get taken off the court with cramping issues. He's really been playing as hard as anyone out there has, and it's really been showing. He's been hurting himself out there just to keep this team afloat.
Well, they're obviously relying on Hubble to do the bulk of the scoring. As you said, he was injured, just cramps, and he said after the game that he should be fine. But this was a game that Purdue had a real good chance to win. They forced the Musketeers into 22 turnovers. The Purdue defense has been solid all season long. But great play out of guard Tu Holloway, who might be a contender for the National Player of the Year for Xavier. And even though the Boilermakers squandered away what could have been a victory, a big victory for them in the early non-conference season, they showed that they still can compete with these top-tier programs. This is a top 15 Xavier team that'll be around and be in the mix deep into March. Just for Purdue, again, to have the stamp to continue to play competitively with elite programs, I mean, what do you think that says about this team, you know, and where they can go in the 2011-2012 season?
Against Alabama, they never gave up. Against top-rated Xavier, they never gave up. They're a tough team that's going to scrap themselves through every game, and they're not going to quit on games. They're not just going to fold, and they're not going to give up even when they're ahead, hopefully.
And for Purdue this week, they will take on Western Carolina on Wednesday, and then on Saturday another home game against Eastern Michigan. And then looking ahead to December 17th, which is a week from Saturday, a showdown with Butler in the Close the Gap Crossroads Classic, and that'll be down in Indianapolis. So Purdue with a chance to get wins here against Western Carolina and Eastern Michigan, and then Brad Stevens and the two-time national runner-up Butler Bulldogs, and the Boilermakers will show down. So a lot of basketball to be played here in the early part of the non-conference schedule for both the men and women's team. So far, though, both teams staying pretty strong and staying competitive in these tough slate of games. For Rob McMahon, I'm Sam Clement. You've been listening to the Purdue Sports Podcast. Tune in next Monday for more breakdown and analysis of Purdue sports.